grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The four candles have now been lit. The 4 weeks of Advent preparation have passed. This evening we light the center candle of the wreath. The light it gives reminds us of the one who is the true light of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And illumine the church.
Tonight is the night of the sun's inbreaking. Come to his light. Receive his light into your hearts. Celebrate his light and so live forever in his glory. Rise, shine, for your light has come. Be seated.
Baby Jesus, born in a stable, humble Savior's birth. You left your throne in heaven above to live here on the earth. Baby Jesus, lying in a manger, crying for the world. The angels told the shepherds of the good news for us all. Alleluia, the King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Now sinners and you saints, all peasants and all kings, and bow before the earth's Redeemer, let all voices sing. Alleluia, the King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Alleluia, the King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Baby Jesus, do you know you'll die for all our sins? Don't be afraid, for in 3 days you will rise again. You will rise again. Alleluia, the King is here, given for all men. Today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Alleluia, the King is here, given for all men. For today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Today the Holy Son of God is born in Bethlehem. Born in Bethlehem.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, You have filled us with the new light of the Word who became flesh and lived among us. Let the light of our faith shine in all we do. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The wonderfully familiar Christmas story took place 2,000 years ago, but it was many more centuries in the making. In speaking through the ancient prophets, God foretold how he would bring his beloved Son into the world.
His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
In Mary's genealogy, the seed of David had been preserved, and through her espoused husband Joseph, the claim to David's kingdom, which had fallen long ago. And in the child she would bear, the two parts of God's ancient covenant would come together again in one person at last.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be.
The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end."
Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Let us sing "Once in Royal David's City." The words are printed in the bulletin. In our modern understanding of the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus was a touching event with barnyard animals and the shepherds' adoration. But from the perspective of faith, the countdown of his life was on. For ultimately, God had sent this child into the world for a greater purpose. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
In a world full of trouble and doubt, human hearts yearn for peace, yet it ever eludes them. For true peace begins with God, and it was well beyond their means to achieve it. Comfort and joy, darkness and dread hung together in a balance, and only the Lord himself could tip the scales in our favor. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
We sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Again, the words are in the bulletin.
Of a lowly man came a lowly yet sinless Savior to redeem us all and bring forgiveness and our reconciliation with God. In times of great peril, the peace he gave us would arise from within himself. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, which is the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger."
And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
Longing for a Savior, a hopeless world would wait. Sin demanded justice at a price we could not pay. But God displayed his mercy, the greatest gift of love. When we could not reach heaven, heaven came to us. He made a way in a manger, time had begun. For God so loved this world, though he knew what love would cost, he made a way in a manger to make a way to the cross. time.
While the world falls deeper into darkness, the true light is already shining in our hearts. With the inner peace and joy he gives, we look to a day when he will wipe away all of our tears and we'll know a love that is perfected in his presence forever.
But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrata, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure for now. He shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
And the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God.
We sing, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
Thank you.
One of my favorite Christmas stories is about the young boy who was given a very important role in the church's Christmas play. He was to be the good news of great joy. The grandparents got in on it, and any time the family was together and the boy was there, they would dress him up in his costume, and he'd rehearse the part for them. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy." They for certain thought he was a Charlton Heston in the making. The great night came for the Christmas pageant, and everybody was in place. All the grandparents, extended family were there. Visitors had come in, and all the children were in their costumes complete, in bathrobes for the three kings, fake wings and halos for the angels. And there was the young man in his costume, off to the side. Everyone was excited, and everyone was really into it. As the pageant started, the excitement was electric around the room. The dramatic event in the first part was the announcement of the angel. "Behold, I bring you great good news of great joy." The spotlight hit the young man, and he got stage fright. His stomach began to churn. His lungs began to seize. His throat closed up. And all he could say was in a squeaking voice, "Have I got news for you?" And that's right. Have I got news for you? At Christmas, we celebrate the greatest good news that we could ever hear or have. That God has come among us. And not to destroy us, but rather to show us how much he loves us and to save us from everything, everything that separates us from God and separates us from one another, and yes, everything that even separates us from ourselves. That's the joy of Christmas. And I hope that it penetrates your lives. It penetrates your hearts, because we need to look beyond the glitter and the wrapping. We need to look beyond the lights and the tinsel. We need to get down to the real gift of Christmas. And so we have to throw out all those preconceived notions about this time of year and to understand that it's just very simply God is here with us, and in a very special way, to become a part of us and to allow us to become a part of his great plan of salvation for the world. That's what the shepherds heard that night so long ago. That is what the angels announced. "I've got good news for you guys." And the good news is that God has done something totally different and something completely new that you didn't expect. God has shown just how valuable and wonderful it is to be a human being, because he's chosen to come among us as one of us. "For unto you is born a child that you'll find in bands of cloth, like any other child, except this one wasn't born in a hospital or a palace or even in a home, but he was born in a stable and placed in a manger, because he is so humble that no one can refuse him." The shepherds understood the joy of Christmas, and I think they can help us to understand that joy that we should have too. You see, the one thing that the shepherds did when they heard that word of the angels about the good news, they didn't sit still. Not like us, we just sit here, right? Yeah, they didn't sit still.
They heard the good news and they jumped up and they said, let's go, let's follow through, let's go to Bethlehem, let's see this wonderful thing that God has done. Who can not help but see the wonderful thing that God has done? They opened their eyes to see what God was up to. And if we don't open our eyes all too often, we miss out on what God is really up to. The great landscape artist Joseph Turner was known for painting very vivid landscapes. They're filled with color and imagery. They looked alive. One time an art critic approached Turner and said, "Your paintings are so vivid, but I have never seen landscape look like that." Turner replied, "Yes, but don't you wish you could?" Imagine when the shepherds told others about what they saw, there were some who replied, "How could you see something like that? We have never seen anything like that." Perhaps the shepherds said to them, "Well, don't you wish you could?" And they can. We all can see that wonderful event of God's presence among us. Just look at the person next to you. That's the marvelous message of Christmas, that God chooses to come into our world in fleshed and human form. That there is something so wonderful and valuable about us as human beings that God did not disdain to become one of us. Oh, if we could just learn that. And so we would stop killing one another, stop bullying one another, stop berating one another, stop making fun of one another, stop destroying one another, stop having prejudices against one another, and just come to realize that in your neighbor, there is someone and something very holy as a creation of God. And one who is capable and can be honored with that image of God in their own heart, in their own life. We also can notice that the shepherds had ears to hear. The shepherds heard the angels singing, but not everyone heard it, just the shepherds. They were in the fields, far enough away from the bustle of the city to hear the sacred sounds. You know, our world is a noisy place. We never tire of the noise. We even have to walk around always with earbuds in our ears. We always have to have noise in the background. Oh, perhaps for that silence like the shepherds had on the hillside, that silence that can become holy when God sends his angels to sing and to speak. The sad thing is that most of the noise that we hear drowns out the sacred sounds, the real sounds, the holy sounds of God. There is so much noise that we don't hear very well. There's so much noise that we don't hear the cry of the infant, the plea of our neighbor. We don't hear the holy sounds of God around us. In the expressions of love and care, and in just the simple greetings of God's peace be with you. I like the story about a Native American and a Native New Yorker who walked the streets of New York together. The Native American spent his whole life on the prairie. It was his first time in the city. He turned to his new friend and said, "I hear a cricket." The New Yorker replied, "What do you mean? Look at the asphalt, smell the exhaust, look at the tall buildings. How can there be a cricket here?" The Native American led his friend across the street to the front of a store. There in front of the store was a small tree. He turned over a leaf, and there was a cricket singing its song of joy. The Native American said, "We hear what we are trained to hear. Let me show you." He took change out of his pocket and threw it on the street, and a crowd of people stopped and immediately knelt down to pick up the change. We hear what we want to hear. We see what we want to see. We respond how we choose to respond. But the good news of Christmas says that unless we're willing to receive the power of Christ, we're going to move, we're going to hear, we're going to look in all the distractions, and we'll never truly listen. Listen to our neighbor. Listen to those around us who are filled with the sound of God's holiness. Most of us also recognize that the shepherds had the courage to commit. The courage to commit. That's something that we Americans don't always have enough of anymore. We are samplers. We like to taste things. We'll sample things. But we don't make a commitment. That's part of the trouble people have with church. Church asks for a commitment. God asks for a commitment. Jesus says, come and follow me as a disciple. There is a sense of commitment. And we know that. We sense it. And maybe that's why sometimes we keep things at arm's length. Joseph Bellow, a sociologist, wrote a book entitled Habits of the Heart. And that's what he analyzed, was the fact that we Americans don't make commitments. We don't join teams. We don't join groups and organizations. And we miss out on so much because we aren't willing to commit. Jesus committed. He committed to us. That's what his birth at Christmas is all about. He committed to us all the way to the cross, all the way to giving his life for our redemption, all the way to the grave and through it to his resurrection from the dead, all the way Jesus committed himself to us so that we, through him, can now have a new life. Jesus committed himself to us all the way. How much less can we commit ourselves to him, our hearts, our lives, who we are? Christmas is not just a nice concert that's easily forgotten. Christmas is embracing Jesus' love for us and committing ourselves to him. And until we commit to the Christ who comes at Christmas, we will never truly understand just the good news that God has for us. We will not hear it. We won't find it. We won't see it. Don't miss out on it. There's an ancient Christmas legend that tells of how God called the angels of heaven together one day for a special choir rehearsal. God told the angelic choir that he wanted them to learn a very special song for a very special occasion. The angels got very excited and they rehearsed the song for weeks. God was quite demanding of his choir, but the angels assumed it was for a very good reason. Finally, God felt that they were ready to sing the song, but before he did, he had one important thing to tell them. He said they would only perform the song once. Some of the angels complained. They couldn't understand why they had to go through all of this rehearsal and all of this effort if they were only going to sing this song once. But God told his angels to trust him because they would soon understand. And finally, one night, it was just perfect. It's time, he said. And he led them to a field just outside of Bethlehem, and the angels sang their song. And boy, did they sing it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all. As the angels sang, they began to understand the significance of the song and why they were singing it. Because the song was announcing the birth of the Savior of the world. When the angels finished singing, God led them back to heaven and reminded them that they would not sing that song again as an angelic choir. Oh yeah, they could hum the tune every now and then, but they would never perform it again. It was only once. One angel was overcome with curiosity, and so he courageously asked God why they could not sing that majestic anthem again. They did it so well. They practiced so much. Why only once? Why couldn't they sing it anymore? Because, God explained, it's not your turn to sing anymore. My son has been born. The good news has been proclaimed. And now it's up for the earth and all the people in it to do the singing every day. Boy, have I got good news for you. A Savior has been born. And not just long ago in Bethlehem in a manger, but most importantly, he's been born among us and in us. The good news. Christ is born. Amen.
This night, the eternal Word of God is born in us. We pray for Christ's light of life to take flesh in the church, the creation, and all people of God. We bring to the manger hope for the well-being of creation, that every valley be exalted and every rough place be made plain, so that every living thing may flourish. Hear us, good Lord. We bring to the manger a vision of the reign of the Prince of Peace, that the nations, tribes, and peoples of this world will see and cherish in each other the very image of Christ, whose scepter is mercy and whose judgment is love. Hear us, good Lord. We bring to the manger concern for those who have no place to lay their heads this night, and for those who dwell in the shadow of loneliness, despair, illness, or death. We come begging that the child for whom there was no room will open the doors of our hearts to the needs of our neighbors and ourselves. Hear us, good Lord. We bring to the manger all people who, like the Holy Family, gather with children in the splendor of this most holy night, that the gift of faith be lavished on another generation, and that the love of God may be shared. Hear us, good Lord. We bring to the manger the hopes and dreams of all the years, that with Mary and Joseph, angels and archangels, saints and martyrs, loved ones of every time and every place, our prayers and praises join in a common song, uniting heaven and earth in a single piece. For into your outstretched arms, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who invites us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Amen.